You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. Ross Jackson here, your host covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news for Saints fans by Saints fans. And you know what it is. Go ahead and throw me a follow over on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. And if this is your first time catching the podcast, welcome and thank you so much for being here. Please be sure to subscribe, share, rate, review. All of that is a big help to me, but it also helps you stay up to date as the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. And remember, you can find Locked On Saints on Google Play, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, as well as a new podcasting app, Himalaya, and just about anywhere else you get your podcast from. And when you're out on the road, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints. All right, y'all. So for today's Monday episode of Locked On Saints, we're going to be talking about some Saints draft potential. We talked last week about mid-round prospects. Now let's take a look at what ammunition the Saints have and what trades they might be able to pull off. Then we'll talk pre-draft visits, as there have some new prospects that have been connected to New Orleans that have been coming out for visits. So we'll talk about who they are and what their fit is with the Saints. Then we'll talk about three stories centering around the Saints to close out the show. Tyler Davison signs with the Falcons, Michael Thomas's comments on OSU players during the Buckeyes spring game, and then of course today is tax day. Tax day has arrived, and so while some people are out filing last minute taxes, we are watching the ticking clock for Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Got all that and a little bit of lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, y'all, so let's get started here talking about some Saints draft potential. We know that the Saints love to be active on draft day, making trades like crazy. We've talked about it already here on the podcast, and John Sigler wrote an article about it as well. I have another article coming out about it as well, talking about draft tendencies and things like that with the Saints and what Sean Payton has done and what the Saints have done since Sean Payton's been in tenure since 2006. And a lot of that is trade up every all but 2 years that Sean Payton has been the coach. So that's the exception of the 2006 season, in which they traded back twice, and then the 2012 season, which of course was a suspension season. Every other year in the draft that Sean Payton has been around, the Saints have traded up. So we can expect the Saints to be mobile during this draft again. I don't think, like I said in the last episode, that this means that the Saints are going to trade up from the second round pick number 62. I think that this means that the way that I look at it is that they're going to trade into some more of those early day three and late day two picks, getting into the third and fourth rounds. We've also talked about before how rounds one through four are kind of the sweet spot for New Orleans. 5, 6, and 7, most of those players don't make the roster, only one in the last 10, and that's Will Clapp from last year's draft. So with us knowing that, we really sort of want to see the Saints make more selections within rounds, well, I guess in this case, rounds 2 through 4. So you got 3 rounds, essentially, of valuable potential picks there. And because of how deep some of these draft classes are at wide receiver, at interior defensive line, at tight end, you can really get some good value in those third and fourth rounds. If you want to hear some names, go ahead and check out my last episode, which was Friday's episode from last week, to where I talk about specific names that the Saints can sort of target in those 3 rounds. Throughout the rest of this week, I'll continue to elaborate on those as well. But in terms of right now, of what kind of moves can the Saints make, I'm going to tell you about two of my favorites. So we already know that in 2017, and you might have seen the tweet rolling around about this, where I talked about first of all, the potential to do this exact same trade that they did in 2017, which netted them Alvin Kamara last time. Or you saw the tweet where I was making fun of the responses in the Ian Rappaport tweet of everyone's initial reaction to the Saints making this move. But in 2017, the Saints traded a 2018 second round pick and a 2017 seventh round pick for the 49ers third round pick, which was the third pick of the third round, pick number 67. With pick number 67, the Saints drafted Alvin Kamara, and then basically through a whole list of things, that 2018 pick that the Saints traded ended up going to Washington, and that's who they drafted Darius Geis with. So really, everyone was sort of talking about how, you know, the Saints got fleeced by John Lynch, and John Lynch was making like big moves, and then they really got nothing out of that trade at all and missed out on somebody like Alvin Kamara, who was on the board at 67 when they were supposed to be selecting. And of course, they've now gone through a litany of of moves trying to find an Alvin Kamara-like running back, Jerick McKinnon, Tevin Coleman, but you're just not going to find anybody like AK. So the 49ers this year in 2019 have pick number 67 overall yet again. So if the Saints wanted to, and if the 49ers were willing to agree to potentially getting fleeced again, they could essentially target getting that same 67 back, that same overall pick back, or something around that same area for the same compensation. Second round pick in 2020 and a seventh round pick from this season. They've got two that they can trade. So if they traded maybe the bottom seventh round pick, or even the highest seventh round pick, it doesn't matter, it's a seventh round pick, right? So you trade one of those seventh round picks and a future second to get into the third round this year, and then you end up getting somebody pretty close to who you would end up getting at 62. So essentially you get two late second round picks that way, or two early third round picks, however it is that you want to look at it. It's a glass half full, glass half empty type of approach. The other trade that I really like is the Saints packaging their fifth round pick and one of their sixth round picks to move up into the fourth. We saw the Panthers do this in 2018 when they traded number 147 overall and 197 overall. That's a fifth and sixth round pick. I didn't write down who they traded it to, but it doesn't really matter, for the 136 overall pick to get into the fourth round. So the Saints could package their fifth round pick and sixth round pick to do a similar move to get into the bottom of the fourth round, where there might still be a really good tight end available, like a Kahale Waring or a potentially Foster Moreau could be available at that time. I don't know if Josh Oliver is going to be available that late, but who knows? It's possible. Or they could make a move for an interior defensive lineman that might have fallen that low. Kingsley Keke, for instance, somebody like that. So you look at some of the suitors for the Saints that might be able to, you know, that might be willing to make a trade like that. And then you can look at sort of, I would say like 127 and below is probably a good range for the Saints. So that's Philadelphia. I don't know if Philadelphia would make the trade. Next is Dallas. I don't know that Dallas would make a trade with the Saints. However, Indianapolis at 129 has potential. The Chargers, who the Saints have a very good relationship with, at 130 has potential. Buffalo at 131, completely possible. And then you can drop down a little bit and you can find New England at 134. New England and New Orleans, of course, have a very good relationship. They've been trade partners in the past before as well. So lots of good options for the Saints to be able to move up into the bottom of that fourth round. Some great options for the Saints to be able to move up into the top of the third round as well, whether it be with San Francisco again, the New York Jets pick at pick 68, who of course the Saints have a good relationship with. They just made a deal for him last year, or with them last year, to get Teddy Bridgewater to New Orleans for a third round pick. So there are lots of options. Throughout the week, we'll talk about some more of those prospects that I mentioned in the last episode, Friday's episode of last week. We'll talk more in depth about who some of the targets could be at these particular places if the Saints were able to make some of these moves. But when we come back for after this break for this episode, we're going to be talking a little bit more specifically about players that have visited the Saints on top 30 visits and where they fit in. I'll tell you who they are, where they fit, all of that when we come back right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Hooded Nation, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Got some big stories from around the league that are really relevant to the Saints coming up for you and the next segment. But for right now, I want to talk about some of the most up-to-date, or most recent rather, top 30 pre-draft visits that the Saints have hosted. So we'll talk about them, the position that they're at, where they came from, all of that. But we'll also talk about where they fit for New Orleans. So I'm going to start off with linebacker Caden Ellis out of Idaho. Now, Caden Ellis is somebody that is really more of a late sort of day three pick. Well, let me not say late day three pick, but he's a day three pick for sure. Maybe an early day three kind of guy. But man, his film, like if y'all are film watchers at all, check this dude out because he's ridiculous. He is absolutely ridiculous. He is an explosive, super violent, just incredibly quick processing linebacker. He just played at a small school. He's got a 4.58 40, so he's got the speed that the Saints like at the linebacker position. Stands at 6'2", 238 pounds. Had a great time at his pro day and everything as well. It shows on the film, but it also showed in his workouts. He's really explosive. 289 tackles in his 47 games, according to John Sigler here on his article over at the Saints Wire. And 47 of those tackles were tackles for a loss, which is just nuts. He also had 16 sacks, 4 interceptions, 9 pass deflections, and 6 forced fumbles, 4 of which he recovered. So he's just somebody that, look, he makes plays, he's quick, he's fast, he's able to get from sideline to sideline pretty quickly. He played in the Sun Belt and Big Sky conferences, so that's a little bit why he's under the radar and looking like a day three pick, but he's definitely somebody that if the Saints were to hold on to one of those sixth round picks, for instance, and he's still there on the board, forward. He's somebody that I think the Saints would love to bring in to sort of compete at that linebacker position. Remember, the Saints are pretty much set now at linebacker in terms of Alex Anzalone and DeMario Davis, and you could throw AJ Klein in there too, but for the most part, they play in that nickel package now, so there's only really two linebackers on the field at a time. But Caden Ellis is somebody that would potentially provide some great skill as a depth player and somebody that the Saints could rely on if, you know, they need to spell somebody or if somebody gets hurt or anything like that. Next on the list here, Dalton Risner. Oh, by the way, in this list, I want to give a quick shout out to Deuce Windham, who you're going to hear on the podcast this week. He's coming through. He and I are doing a little interview later on today, so you hear him throughout the week. And then also John Sigler, who helped compile this list and were nice enough to share the information with me. So as I'm keeping up with it on the AllSaintsConsidered.com website, which you can see a draft tracker there or a pre-draft visit tracker there, I'm able to double check my information with John and Deuce here, who are great, fantastic people to have as a resource. So thank you and shout out to both of them for letting us use this and use this information. So Dalton Risner is who I have next on the list, offensive lineman for Kansas State. Pretty obvious where his fit is for New Orleans. They're in need of some offensive line depth. He's somebody that has experience along the offensive line at right tackle as well as at center. So he's somebody that could plug in and help to provide some interior depth, but also is somebody that could swing out to the tackle position. So you know how much the Saints like versatility in the offensive line. I'm kind of repeating myself because you've heard me talk about Michael Dieter. You've heard me talk about Elkton Jenkins, who fit that same role. But Dalton Risner is one of those guys that's expected to be a much earlier draft pick than where the Saints pick at 62. But definitely if he's still there at 62 or if he's attainable via trade, which I really am not interested in seeing them Saints move up from 62. I really want to see them stand pat there and then move within the draft within those sort of, you know, that round three and four like we talked about in the first segment. But Dalton Risner came through for a visit, so that could be nice. That could also be them scouting out a potential offensive lineman that could end up in the conference as well. We talked about how the Saints like to use their pre-draft top 30 visits, not just for their own sake, but also for scouting players that might end up in the same division. Next here on the list, we've got Justin Lane, cornerback from Michigan State. He's somebody that could be in play for the Saints at 62, and he really sort of fits the mold for the Saints. 192 pounds, 6 foot two, basically. And he's got 33-inch long arms, which are 1 inch shy of being the left, like the tackle threshold, which is just crazy. He also added a 134-inch broad jump and a 37.5-inch vertical jump. So he's very explosive. He collected 130 tackles. 4.5 of them four tackles for a loss while at Michigan State. So look, where he fits for the Saints is that he could be young depth. He could be youth in depth at the position. He could also be somebody that's there if the Saints aren't interested for any reason in moving forward with Eli Apple. So Eli Apple has, you know, he's on the fourth year of his rookie contract this year. And then next year he's on a fifth year option. So the Saints will probably take that option. And then what are they going to do with him after that? After they've spent money to, you know, re-sign Ryan Ramczyk, re-sign Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Marshawn Lattimore, if they're able to retain all four, and then do you really have the money to re-sign Eli Apple if he's playing very well to a new contract there? Maybe, maybe not. If they do let him walk after that fifth-year option, then that's where Justin Lane really has value as somebody that could potentially slide in opposite Marshawn Lattimore on the opposite side of the field, guarding the perimeter in the secondary. So he's somebody definitely to keep an eye on because he could be one of those BP selections at 62 if he makes it there. And then next on the list, we have running back from Appalachian State, Jalen Moore. Now, Jalen Moore averaged over 100 yards per game with Appalachian State and 6.1 yards per carry, which is just crazy. So he set records there in Appalachian State. He could be somebody that slides in as that third option for running back, you know, that third running back slot that is currently occupied by Dwayne Washington. We can almost be certain that the Saints will select our running back at some point in this draft. Since Jeff Ireland has been scouting for the Saints since 2015, they've taken at least one running back in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, every draft ever since. Even after Alvin Kamara last year, they went out and got Boston Scott, right? So Jalen Moore gets his time as a running back with the Saints in that private visit. Then you've also got private workouts with Mike Weber. You had a private workout with Divine Azigbo out of Nebraska. You also had a visit with Alexander Mattison out of Boise State. So you know that they're more than likely going to take another running back in this draft. And it makes sense, you know, because they're still trying to figure out who that third running back is going to be. There's still competition available there. So you know that you've got Alvin Kamara. You know that you've got Latavius Murray. And then you're looking for somebody that could potentially step up behind them should one of them get hurt. Should you simply just need to spell one of them, whatever that is, you need that depth. depth, and you know, you're carrying 46 people in per game anyway, so you're probably going to have a third running back, yada, yada, yada. So Jalen Moore becoming an option for the Saints is a great possibility, and he could be another one of those day three picks. And then finally, defensive end Sharif Miller out of Penn State. Now, he's an edge rusher, and the Saints have been in the market for an edge rusher all offseason. They should be getting an update on Ziggy Ansah sometime this week, who they showed interest in, and they also, of course, had Robert Quinn come in for a visit to see if a trade for Robert Quinn from the Miami Dolphins would have been worth it. Didn't work out. He ended up going to Dallas. So there's, you know, a good possibility of looking in the draft for an edge rusher, somebody that can rotate with Marcus Davenport. Right now, that person on the roster-wise would be Trey Hendrickson. So you're looking for somebody essentially to come in and compete with him. Sharif Miller could be that guy. Sharif Miller's combine was okay. What he did do, he did all right in some places, but then he did not so great in other places. So 40-yard dash, 4.69, that's 81st percentile according to Mock Draftable. That's great. But 16 bench press reps was 5th percentile, 29 and a half inch vertical jump was 12th percentile, and then he didn't do the broad jump, which the broad jump tells you a lot about his explosiveness off the line. He also didn't do the 60-yard shuttle, but who cares? No one really cares about the 60-yard shuttle. So you bring him in and you see what happens. Is he somebody that could come in and compete with Trey Hendrickson? Maybe. Is he somebody that could come in and be a better run stopper, which is where Trey Hendrickson's game could use a little bit of improvement? While Sharif Miller had 31 and a half tackles for a loss with his time at Penn State, along with 14 and a half sacks. So maybe, potentially. I mean, that projects well as a good run stopper, somebody that might not necessarily be a liability as a pass rusher or as a run stopper, which would be key as you're trying to rotate for Marcus Davenport, who excels in both parts of that game. So, all right, we're going to take our final break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about some big news from around the league that's all Saints relevant. We're going to talk about Michael Thomas's comments during the OSU Pro Day, maybe a potential update on Dez Bryant. We got Tyler Davison information. And then, of course, we have the update on Russell Wilson. What's going on there? We're keeping our eyes on that situation, which is coming to a head today. So got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Time now for us to take a look at some big stories from around the league. But let's start with something completely Saints relevant first, or a couple things that are completely Saints relevant first. We'll start off with PJ Williams' contract. So we got an update on PJ Williams' contract. We knew it was a one-year deal. It was rumored to be worth $5 million, but instead it's worth $2.25 million. So it's a great steal for the Saints to bring in somebody that can be, you know, that backup for Patrick Robinson as he's coming off of his injury this season and stuff. And it's a solid move for the Saints. Glad to see PJ Williams make it back to the black and gold. He's probably going to face a suspension for the DUI over the offseason. We'll see. It's a little Willie Snead like, so I would imagine, yes, that he is going to see some type of disciplinary action. We'll see how many games exactly he misses, probably around somewhere between 2 and 4, if any at all. We'll see what happens. Still waiting for information on that, as well as the potential and probably impending suspension that's going to be coming David Onyemata's way as well. So something to keep an eye out on there. But for a guy that might miss a few games, 1 year, $2.25 million. Not bad at all. Great deal for the Saints. All right, next on the list here, I want to talk about Michael Thomas, who visited the Ohio State Buckeyes spring game and had some things to say about, you know, all of the Buckeyes that he has on the team with him that are teammates and everything. So he's got himself, he's got Ted Ginn Jr., he's got Marshawn Lattimore, of course, he's got Eli Apple as well. He's got Von Bell. So there's a lot of Buckeyes, of course, for the Saints. They talk about OSU sort of being New Orleans Saints North or New Orleans Saints University. And one of the comments that Michael Thomas made specifically was that we're looking at trying to add some more. So if that were the case, who were some potential additions for the Saints out of Ohio State, which I think is a great question. I think I might actually reach out to Matt over at Locked On OSU and have him come through to talk about this too. But right off the bat for the Saints at pick number 62, there's three options there for them from Ohio State, more than likely, or potentially three options, certainly probably two. You've got Terry McLaurin, wide receiver there, who's one of my favorite wide receiver. You've heard me talk about him since the offseason began, like post-Super Bowl. He's a very technical route runner, super crisp, doesn't round off his routes, incredible out of breaks, has good hands. He's somebody that could be a deep threat as well as in the short and intermediate parts of the field. Speaking of short parts of the field, you could also look at Paris Campbell, who's probably going to go way too early because of his 40-yard dash, and the NFL loves 40-yard dashes. He's kind of limited in terms of his route running, but potentially the Saints could find a way to make him work. They made Brandon Cooks work, but Brandon Cooks at least was able to run as a deep threat. But, you know, he's somebody that the Saints could probably draft, groom, and work with, but I'd much rather see the Saints take somebody of his skill set later in the draft, like Anthony Ratliff Williams, who has a little bit more of an expanded route tree. Just a better foundation to start off with. You've also got Draymond Jones, interior defensive lineman from Ohio State, that could potentially be available for the Saints at 62. He would be a great addition as they continue to look at the interior defensive line class. And, you know, all of the, I kind of alluded to David Onyemata's potential suspension earlier. So you're looking for people that can sort of plug into that and then also not cost a ton of money. And then, you know, can continue to help keep that defensive line active and successful in the run game without Sheldon Rankins and David Onyemata to start off the season. And then finally, I'll mention too Mike Weber, who I talked about running back in the last segment. He's more of a day three guy, but certainly somebody that could come in and compete for that third running back position. So another New Orleans Saints free agent has signed elsewhere, this time Tyler Davison with the rival Atlanta Falcons. Oh, what a choice to be made. It happens in free agency. Cam Jordan kind of talked about it, about how it's what happens. And, you know, I'm happy that he signed, but I'm sad that he signed with that team in the red and black, as he called the Falcons. So Tyler Davison heads over there on a one-year deal. Great for him. Excited that he gets to do that. The Falcons continue to try to shore up that defensive line. They just brought back Adrian Claiborne, who spent the season with the Patriots. And then now they add Tyler Davison on a one-year deal as well. So obviously we wish him luck, but just not too much luck, at least two games out of the season. And then I also want to talk real quick about another potential Saints free agent. Oh man, there's so much going on. There's so much happening. Dez Bryant was on a Facebook Live chat or Facebook Live video yesterday, Sunday night, and was talking about, you know, talking to people and everything. And then one of the things that he said was, yeah, I'm going to be back in NO next year, or this season, is he corrected himself and said this season. So sounds like Dez Bryant is still expecting to be a New Orleans Saint in 2019. You know, as far as Sean Payton is concerned, nothing is final yet. You know, there's nothing written on the wall that says that Dez Bryant will be returning. But if Dez's rehab continues to go well, which it looks like he's getting closer and closer running, he's posted some workout videos of himself on bikes and things like that. So if he's able to get to that place and the Saints were able to add him before the draft in particular, that would take care of a humongous need for the Saints, looking at that other wide receiver opposite Michael Thomas. And I think they'd still take a wide receiver in the draft, but they could wait a little bit longer and take somebody like Stanley Morgan Jr., who would be an excellent pick for them, as opposed to looking at, you know, considering wide receiver as a possible BPA at 62. And the final bit of news today that I just want to touch on real quickly is that it's April 15th. It's tax day, which is important because you need to file your taxes, but also Russell Wilson gave today as his deadline with the Seattle Seahawks that after this point, he would no longer be willing to negotiate any type of long-term deal with Seattle. He wants out of Seattle. There's no doubt about it. And we talked about this, I think about a month ago, where I talked about, you know, if he were to hit the market, then you could expect the Saints to really pursue him. Then you've seen a lot of tweets about that today and things like that. So I definitely expect the Saints to pursue him in free agency. I don't think necessarily the Saints would make a trade about that, but that's a bigger conversation apropos Deuce Windham's tweet that went up earlier and then sparked Saints Twitter like crazy. So we'll talk about that later on this week, but definitely a situation to keep an eye on. I'm perfectly comfortable with Teddy Bridgewater being the guy. I think that Russell Wilson is going to end up heading to the New York Giants, but like Sean Payton said on the WWL interview last week, nothing is written in stone. There's nothing in there that says that Teddy Bridgewater is in fact 100% the quarterback of the future. They're going to continue to weigh their options and really evaluate that throughout. It's a diplomatic answer. You know, it's what a coach is supposed to say. Motivates the team, doesn't let anybody know what's going on, where, things like that. So it's a diplomatic answer. But regardless of the way that it goes for New Orleans, like I said, I'm sure that they'll pursue him. I don't know that they'll land him. I don't know that they would ever sign him. I think he wants to go to New York. He wants to set himself up for post-NFL. Sierra loves New York as well. So we've heard all the rumors about that. It's a family decision more than it is a him decision. And so he wants to go to a big market. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Regardless of what it means for the Saints, like if they pursue him and whether or not they land him, which again, like I said, I doubt that they land him, but it's still worth following because it weakens a big NFC team like the Seattle Seahawks, but then also creates a buzz and some attention around another NFC team like the New York Giants, who, you know, have done everything that they can to screw up this offseason, but maybe are starting to, you know, really look into what that rebuild could mean for them moving forward. All right, y'all, that is going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Saints. Be sure you stick around throughout the week. We're going to talk a little bit more about prospects in that third and fourth round that the Saints might be able to trade up and grab. We're also going to have Deuce Windham coming through throughout the week to talk about the NFL draft as we get closer and closer. So for right now, I'm just going to say thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and I'm going to tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the podcast. So please take some time to rate, review, share, all of that helps out a ton. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints at home or in your vehicle. And of course, be sure to subscribe on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the new Himalaya Podcast app so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you so much for all your support and helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.